live from the Improv on Eternia. It's the Nighttime Show Podcast. I'm your announcer, Mike Black, so fuck off, Glazer. With the beast producer in town, Matt Walker.
Fabulous secret podcasts were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said, "By the power of donuts, I have the podcast!"
With our special guest, from Best in Show, Fred Willard! From Star Wars Deep, Roy! From the Goldberg, Sean Gambroni! From Wilson Phillips, Carney Wilson! And the voice of Winnie the Pooh, Jim Cummings!
And now, the most powerful host in the universe, Stephen Kramer Glickman!
Yes!
Well, it is a wonderful, wonderful night. Who got cupcakes? Who got cupcakes here? How awesome are these cupcakes? Who made these cupcakes? Where's Jessica? Where is she? Where are you, Jessica? Where are you?
Oh, she's there in the middle.
Jessica, tell us, what's the name of the your cupcake company? What is it? Queen Koo Yum. You got to go check out Queen Koo Yum on Instagram, because I'll tell you what, her cakes and her cupcakes are super fucking awesome. Give her a giant round of applause. They're delicious. I've had 7. It really ruined my diet.
Enjoy them fast before the acid kicks in.
Yeah, and there's a lot.
The show is going to be great.
A lot of drugs in there.
Have a great time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We got the one and only to our left, Brent Weinbach is here. Brent Weinbach, by the way, one of my favorite stand-up comedians in the world. Your comedy special, which is available on Amazon Prime right now, is called Appealing to the Mainstream. You should check it out. It is incredibly funny, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm excited about the show.
It's a crazy lineup. My favorite thing about doing this show is that every month we end up getting to sit and chat with people that we've all been fans of our whole entire lives in all different capacities for all different reasons. Like when we were going through the credits for some of these people that are on the show tonight, we were nerding out so much, but for completely different reasons. So like last month on the show, we had Dave Foley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids in the Hall.
From Kids in the Hall. And I was excited about Kids in the Hall. Matt was more excited about news radio. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Potato, potato.
Good taste, bad taste. The point is, it's a lot of fun. We're going to have a great night. Are you guys excited? Woo! A couple quick announcements so that you understand how this show works. Brent Weinbach will be with this wireless microphone in the audience taking questions. We're going to do Q&A with each person that's on the show. You guys get to ask questions so that these wonderful people that you love get creative, ask good questions, because if they're not good questions, we'll fucking tear your head off.
Yeah.
We will tear your head off. Won't do it, but... Michael tear your head off.
He's
a professional stuntman.
I've torn heads off before.
He's very talented.
Big trouble.
Better watch out. The nighttime show next month will be at the Los Angeles Comic Con. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing 3 panels at LA Comic Con, and we have an enormous booth. We have no idea what to put in it.
it's big enough to fit both you and Mike.
Oh, son of a bitch! You rat bastard. But true. It is very big. 30 feet by 10 feet. I have no idea what we're going to put in there.
Sign.
Matt's entire collection of Lucille Ball commemorative plates are going in the booth.
We'll never have enough room.
Yeah.
All right, what's that?
You have the cool sign.
Oh, yeah. This is another really big deal. This is so ridiculous. So because of the success of this show and the numbers that we've been getting, which is so rad,
We're rounding up.
Yeah, we're rounding up. We got hit up by a company called Neon MTG, which is a custom neon company that makes custom neon signs. And they said to me, we would like to do a nighttime show neon sign, right? And I was like, that sounds great. And they said, what size would you like? And I said, I don't know, giant. Give us the biggest sign you've ever made. And they did. And it's like 4 feet tall. It's so big, it dwarfs everything else around it. Like, it's enormous. I actually had to have a guy build a box for it so that we can bring it around places because it's just too big. So it'll be here in November. You guys will get to see it.
Yeah.
And it'll be part of the show forever. And that's super exciting. Mm-hmm. Neon MTG.
Four of our stagehands made the ultimate sacrifice trying to get that into the building.
All right, we got to bring up our first guest. Mike, are you excited? Brent,
man.
Get the fuck out of here. Go on to the audience.
I can't wait to join the people. This is where I belong with the people.
Get into the people. Brent Weinbach, everybody.
Brent Weinbach.
Be with the people right here.
Our own sexy Phil Donahue.
All right, here we go.
All right, our first guest is a comedy icon, having appeared on television shows such as Roseanne, The Golden Girls, Fernwood Tonight, and he is best known for his work in movies like Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, and Anchorman. Please welcome to the stage, Fred Willard.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Willard.
Keep the applause going. We have him in the dark. It's not fair.
When you're by my side, and you won't need a camel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Willard!
Navigating the obstacle course we've given him.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Steve, and a lot of excitement in this room. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big, yes. Big.
A lot of energy, and I hope I don't detract from it. I'll try to add to it.
Yes. Well, you were telling us before the show, you performed in this room before.
Oh, many times, yes, yes.
When was that? When did you start
Lord,
here?
Oh, this was in the late 60s, I think. I don't want to go into the history, but I've been a friend of Bud Friedman, the original owner here, and... I've been here and seen a lot of shows and done a lot of shows. Wow. And this tops them all. Thank you for having me.
Oh, get out of here.
I haven't been this excited since Henny Youngman and Debbie Boone got up and sang, "You light up my wife, please." That's an old reference there. Debbie Boone, Pat Boone's in. Since Rodney Dangerfield actually got respect. But enough with the jokes. Let's get enough with the comedy. Let's talk
let's
about
it. Let's get serious, for God's sake. Early career, let's start. Where did you grow up? Where did you grow up?
Shaker Heights, Ohio, which was a suburb of Cleveland, born and raised. And there's a lot of celebrities who are from Cleveland that I never knew when I was in Cleveland. It's only since I've been out here, I met a lot of them. Bob Hope, I learned when I was in grade school that Bob Hope was not born in... He was born in London, England, but he was raised in Cleveland, Ohio. Went to school there.
Wow! And, did you do? Were you acting when you were a kid? Were you doing acting and things like that?
No, I always wanted to be. I don't know what I wanted to be. A baseball player, I think. Or I wasn't never quite sure what I wanted to be.
Did you have family that was in the arts at all, or how did you get into the arts? How did this happen for you?
It's a good question. I know. I went to New York, and I said maybe I'll be a disc jockey. I thought that would be fun. Then I said, no, maybe I'll be an actor. That'll be easy. So then I just got into it, and I got some jobs, and one thing led to the other. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. We were looking at early points of your career. Last night, Matt and I were watching. We were holding hands and cuddling, and we were under a blanket. And we were watching Get Smart. We were watching you on Get Smart.
Get Smart, yeah. That's one of the first.
Unbelievable.
If the people remember that, my partner and I teamed up with another guy. We had a duo, which is why we played here at the Improvisation. The act was called Greco and Willard. And we had a sketch about a bumbling detective who thwarted a robbery. And they used that on Get Smart. And we played, and they took our sketch and turned it into an episode.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And then I remember like we came into our agent's office and my partner said they want us to do our own series. And I said, well, that's great. And he said, but our agent said, no, you're not going to go out and get those guys for $800. You're going to pay them what? So our agent stepped in and stopped that.
Aren't they the best?
Yeah,
the
best.
Oh, agents, they sure
you're
are
not going to take advantage of my young comics.
Well, he but got then, 10% of that of, yeah. of the nothing that he got you.
Mike used to have a really bad agent. What did that agent ask you for that one? I remember it's the funniest
oh,
thing. He, in the
oh, I don't the know.
The agent
don't
that
know.
Kept asking you for 10% of garbage, of just nothing.
Yeah, of like I'd do a $5 a thing where a friend paid me in like buffalo wings to come to a show, and he'd be like, I get some of those, right?
50%.
Technically, yeah, you do.
Was that well,
in triple cheese? What do you, you know?
Yeah, now
that was in addition to the 50 cent commission.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you did eventually get a series with Martin Mull in Fernwood Tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Fernwood yeah. Tonight. So amazing. Such a great yeah. show.
That's something that I almost turned down because. They called me about it, and I said, they said it's a kind of takeoff on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. You'd be like an Ed McMahon. And I said, oh, boy, I started to name people that would be better at that than me. And then they said, well, just come in and sit in on a rehearsal. We're going to do a rehearsal for about a week. And I knew Martin Mull. I didn't really know him. I'd seen him perform at the Troubadour. And I said, boy, this guy is unique. He has a very unique comic. So I was his co-host, and I never laughed so hard as I did in that week of rehearsals. And at the end of the week, I went up to Norman Lear. I said, I think I'd like to be on this show. Mm-hmm. Oh, so they amazing. Said, oh, okay, that's great. So
that's awesome.
We did 1 year as Fernwood Tonight, and then the next season, all of Norman Lear's celebrity friends loved the show. So they kept it on for a second year. They said, how do we get these celebrities to be in a show that's done in Fernwood, Ohio, so they call it America Tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And put it in some little city in Los Angeles. I think Altacoma, the unfinished furniture capital of yeah. the world. Or the stool capital. Am I getting that confused with Waiting yeah. for Guffman? I may have been.
The stool boom.
The stool capital.
So how much of that show was off-the-cuff improvisation? And how
well,
much
at first, it was the only one who had cue cards was Martin Mull. They mm-hmm. had big cards, and we did come out and just do the show once. It was almost like being in school when you had to cram for an exam. You knew it, then if it was when the bit was over, if they wanted to go back and reshoot, you couldn't remember anything. But I'd watch his cue cards, and I'd know my cue to come in. But then after about 10 or 15 shows, I would say, well, what if I say this? Or what if I – then I realized, why don't I just say it? Mm-hmm. Because we tape about 40 minutes, and they'd cut it down to 20 or 25, whatever it is. So it became more and more improvisational. Now I forget what guests came on where we'd follow the script. Some of them were so nervous, and they'd say, we're just going to go through it once, and we'd do it. And some would stay close to the script, and others we would just improvise with it, and it just lent itself to that.
Who were some of your favorite guests on there?
Oh, William W.D. Bud Prize. That was... Oh, I forgot. I'm going to be bad on names here.
Kenny Mars.
Who?
Kenny Mars.
He would come on. Kenny Mars. He would come on with his whole thing that he wrote himself. And the writers would come on and say, let's just go with Kenny's stuff. Well, let's forget ours. We'll save that for another week. So he was one of my favorites. And always another one who played the rabbi. He'd come on, he'd say, Shalom and Bucha. And he'd say that every week, Shalom and Bucha. And finally I said, what does that mean? He says, absolutely nothing.
there was a show that...
Hear a clip of Tom Waits.
That's Tom Waits. That's Tom one Waits of the bits the people remember most. I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. That was nothing like a good catchphrase to keep.
There was a show Matt drew my attention to called DC Follies, which you were the star of. Now, do we have a clip? We have a DC Follies clip. You guys should see this because this is
for the people.
There's nothing like this I've ever seen before on TV.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Let's turn the lights down just a little bit.
I'm going to DC Follies.
Sid and Marty Krofft present DC Follies. With the heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson.
Oh, my God.
Promoter, Don King. magic of the Croft Puppets.
Hi, folks, I'm Fred. Welcome to DC Follies, the Washington hotspot right down the street from the White House and just a stone's throw away from the Iranian embassy.
You have to get me something fast. I have to go home and pack.
Oh, really? You and the little woman heading off on a vacation?
No, Nancy and I have to be out of the White House in 2 days so the new president can take over.
Oh, well, wait a minute. The new president doesn't move in until January.
Now, listen, I got some bad news, boys. Reagan's out of office.
Oh, my God.
First time in modern history, we'll have four ex-presidents.
It's crazy. It's amazing. That must have been a really fun show to work on.
It was I think it was done about 1989 or 1990. And we'd wait every week. The people who made the puppets would bring in three new ones. We couldn't wait to see who they were. And they just showed Mike Tyson. The producers, we would rehearse on a Tuesday and do the show on a Wednesday, and they'd always forget to get a guest star. But if they could get, I'd say, who's the guest star? Oh, God, we didn't get anyone. Someone's shooting down the street. Go down. But 1 week, Mike Tyson was the guest. Now, I'll never forget, he was walking down the street, and I was walking back to the stage. He was walking with his manager. And he looked at me, he says, "Hi, Fred," like that. I said, "He's watched his show, and he thinks I'm really Fred Willard," which I was, but not. But he was such a sweet guy, but he had a look in his eyes. You know, you didn't want to say the wrong thing. And I think the sketch was that he was boxing George Bush or something in the ring.
Oh, my God.
But that was one of the high points. But you got great guests. We'd get... Steve Allen, Mike Tyson, Freddy Krueger from Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
When they think to get a guest, they'd get great guests. Oh, but it's a show that should still be on. They made fun of the politicians and celebrities. And for some reason, it ran 2 years, and then the Crofts just kind of forgot about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, Sid and Marty, fascinating. They must have been fascinating people to work with, too.
They were. Yeah.
They use those the puppets in that Talking Heads music video, right?
Oh,
the Talking Heads, yeah.
I believe so. I believe
yeah. same puppets.
I'm not
just
sure.
A little tidbit.
I don't know if the Cosby one was in there, but I think the rest of them were. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Were what?
He was busy.
What was that, Bill Cosby?
Yeah, the very beginning.
We had three people doing voices, two guys and a woman. They'd walk all around all week with their earphones in because they were listening. Some of these obscure politicians, they just get the right inflection. They were just wonderful. They were just amazing. They would do it all in one afternoon.
Amazing.
Wow.
Oh, my God. All right, well, we would be remiss without talking about Christopher Guest because your work, I mean, come on. I mean, when I was a kid growing up in San Diego doing live community theater, I always thought that experience that of me and my sister did all this community theater growing up. And
you don't have to explain.
You know, well, yeah. I didn't know that other people were experiencing the same things that we were experiencing until I saw that movie. Yeah. And that was like, that was the movie where you're like, oh my God, Waiting for Guffman. You see that movie, you're like, oh my God, it's like this everywhere. This is what
any showbiz
is like.
Folk love that movie.
It was a wonderful experience to do that, the movie. And it's one of those movies you do when you think, yeah, we did it in Austin, Texas. And you assume nobody's ever going to see it. So we just had fun. I was working with some of my heroes, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. Oh yeah.
Did you know Catherine O'Hara beforehand?
I did know. I knew most of the Second City people. I've known them from way back in Toronto City because I spent a year at Second City in Chicago.
Sure.
And so when I'd go to Toronto.
Hell yeah.
The director said, "You want to see the show we're doing?" I said, "Sure." And there was Eugene and Catherine O'Hara, Martin Short, John Candy. No one knew who they were. Next thing I knew, they were on SCTV, and nobody was watching it the first season. But we watched it and became friendly with them, and just big fans ever since. I was so thrilled. I really pushed my way into doing a couple of episodes of SCTV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I met John Flaherty at the, Joe Flaherty, at the supermarket. I said, "Joe, I love that show. You got to get me on the show." And he said, "Oh, all right." So
that was a really good Joe Flaherty.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Count Floyd, for those of you who don't
Count
recall.
Floyd, yes. Yeah.
Of those movies, of Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration, which is the one that is nearest and dearest to you?
Well, they all had something I loved about. The one that did me most good, it was Best in Show. Because I think it was because about everyone has dogs or loves dogs. I've talked to more people who not only have dogs, they put them in shows. And that did me the most good. But I just had wonderful feelings about all of them. And I always say, thank God for Christopher Guest. He started that whole thing of, now a lot of shows are done the way his movies are. You know, just improvise and cut it down. Here's the scene, here's what happens. It wasn't just go crazy. Right. You know, we knew what we had to do to move the movie along. And believe me, if it didn't move the movie along, your scene was on the cutting room floor. Because we'd shoot 30 hours of stuff, and the movie was cut down to 85 minutes, so everyone would walk out of the screening, what happened to my scene? But, he was, he did did four of them, and then he did a couple of TV specials.
Where did you meet Christopher Guest? Where did you
meet? I think years ago, I was in an off-Broadway show in New York called Little Murders. Christopher Guest was in the second company that was ready to take over when the first company left. And he was just a youngster, and his mother was a very important casting woman with CBS, so I knew kind of who he was. But the next thing I knew, I think he used me in a pilot he did for something, and I made him laugh. I made some jokes. And the next thing I knew, he called me, and he said, we're doing this movie down in Austin, Texas. We may call it Waiting for Guffman. And we may use Catherine O'Hara if she answers us, but we'd like to have you in it. So that's how it started. And luckily, he called me for everything he's done since then.
Amazing. Unbelievable. We got to open it up for Q&A. Brent Weinbach, all right, let's take some questions.
I'm out here in the back. Anybody have any questions back
questions
here?
Got questions for Fred Willard.
I have a quick question, actually. Sure. What happened to Greco? 21 Jump Street?
He what?
And 21 Jump Street?
No, that's a joke. But what did happen to Greco?
He passed away about 2 years ago. But he was, we worked together for several years, and then we broke up, and then we got back together. You know, with comedy duos, after that, I got into a group called the Ace Trucking Company. There were five people. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different thing when you're just working with one person. You know, shows don't go right. Well, whose fault was who? When you're working with five people, it didn't matter if the show went, if there was no one for the second show, great, let's go out for dinner. It didn't bother us at all. It was like someone referred to us as a moving cartoon. So that was fun. But he passed away, unfortunately. But he was a very funny man, very talented.
Happy now, Brett.
Yeah. What was his first name again?
What was his first name?
Greco?
Well, he worked on the name Vic Greco. His real name was Gus Massarino. He had a stage.
Massarino and Willard would have been a bit much for maybe a little bit.
It would be like
Ace
the old
Trucking Company, by the way, is painted. That name is painted on the front of the comedy store. Let's get a question. Let's get a question. Who's got a question for Fred
Willard?
We
got a question right here.
On a personal note, I don't think a week goes by where I don't say, I don't think so, or I can't do my work. So thank you for those amazing quotes. I was curious more on Roseanne. How did you end up being one of the first gay couples that were ever
Roseanne? Roseanne had Martin Mull as her boss. I think that was it. And he was supposed to be gay. And I saw Roseanne and her then husband, I don't know if it was Tom Arnold or some other, which one is her husband? I said, wouldn't it be funny if, since like Martin was my boss on Fernwood Tonight, if I came on the show as his boss? They said, oh, we'd love to have you. Yes. So about a month or so later, they called. They said, we have a wonderful idea. Why don't you come on as his gay boyfriend? And I said, well, that's kind of awkward. I said, no, I don't think so. So about a month later, they call. They said, we have a wonderful idea that the two of you get married and adopt a baby. And I said, I'm in. Let's do it. So we were the first.
It was kind of like
the first gay marriage on TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And, who else has a question for Fred?
Any other questions?
We can take one or two more, and then we're out.
We got one all the way over there.
Come on, Brent.
I'm making my way over.
You know, sorry about that.
Your career depends on it, Brent.
Who's your favorite comedian of all time, personally?
That would have to be divided. Depending on who made me laugh the hardest. I've never laughed harder than at Don Rickles, if you ever see him live. About the first 10 or 15 minutes of his act, you're just doubled over with. Rodney Dangerfield, of course, is the only comic I know where people get together, other comics, and just exchange Rodney Dangerfield lines. And the third, I forget a friend of mine who never made it too big, but he used to make me laugh. I didn't come that well prepared. I didn't think they'd ask me that question. But then a lot of people who don't make you laugh that much can still be your favorite comedian. Jerry Seinfeld, I'll watch him and say, my God, this is brilliant. Mort Saul. Who's the new guy?
There was a Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian special that was taped in this room, right? That you were in. Not as one of the young comedians, but you were in the audience, and he points you out. Oh, look, we have a special guest in the audience, Fred Willard.
Oh,
is that right?
God.
Wasn't that taped in this room?
I was on one of his specials because he called me at home. He said, hey, Fred, Sam Kinison was supposed to be on my show. That bastard got high. I don't know why these guys can't... Why the hell can't these guys have their drugs? You seem like a good guy. I want you to be on the show. So just that day, I went down. I replaced Sam Kinison,
right.
Who was another one of my favorite comics. I mean, he was so brilliant, just amazing.
Now, Fred, one last thing I have to ask about. You were nominated for an Emmy for The Bold and the Beautiful.
A daytime Emmy, nominated.
Which is not a show that I would expect.
I won an Emmy for The Bold and the Beautiful.
So how did that come to be? You on a soap opera? You don't seem like somebody I would see on a soap opera.
I know, and I thought, well, no one's gonna ever see this, and I can't tell you how many people come and say, "I just saw you on The Bold and the Beautiful." I said, "Oh, you were wonderful. Thank you." It was an adventure being on a soap opera because it's different than being on a sitcom. You come in, and you do your scene. And you do it once, and maybe they'll say, okay, let's go back and take it from this line. Right, we got it. Let's move on. And move on, I spent a week memorizing these lines. But you have to come very prepared. They're wonderful actors. They're all more than attractive. So I think since I started out, I always had an ambition to be on a soap opera because it's like doing a live one-act play. They used to do them live. In fact, when I started out, I was an extra in a couple of daytime soaps.
Wow.
Remember, I was behind the bar. But it's really, if you're an actor, you know an actor, tell them if they can get on a soap opera, just as an incidental character, it's really great.
Well, Fred, it is
one right
such...
There on the end.
Oh, yeah, one here, yes?
I have a question.
Yes.
I just want to first say that I still love your work in...
Yes.
The Harold and Kumar and White Castle.
Harold and Kumar, yes.
The action was just priceless. I want to ask you that you have a tremendous resume. Out of all your work, what is the one project that you're most proud of?
Yeah, so for people listening at home, he wants to know what the one project you're most proud of is.
Yeah.
Most proud of. Well, I was just thinking, one of the pieces I did that I loved the most was an old Laverne and Shirley. I played a guy, my partner and I came to town. We wanted to pretend we wanted to date Laverne and Shirley, but we actually wanted to get access to the bank next door to the bowling alley.
Oh, my God.
And I watched that, and I said, my God, I was good in that.
I love it.
I wasn't dyeing my hair. I watched it recently. I said, Jim Burrows was the director. You know, Jim Burrows. I didn't realize that he directed that. He later directed me in... Back to You with Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's such a ridiculous honor to have you on the show.
It absolutely is. I want to say something.
Oh, please.
One of my favorite toasts ever put in a film anywhere was your toast at the end of Roxanne. Do you recall it?
Yes. I'd rather be with you people than the greatest people in the world. I didn't make that up. I think That was actually Rob Reiner's mother or something actually said that. Oh, and people in the business remembered, and they gave me that line to say. Yeah, people, that's a very memorable line.
I love that. That's so incredible. Well, thank you so much, Fred, for coming to do the
Thanks
show.
Thanks for having me here, Steve.
Fred Willard, everyone. Let's play a little clip to get him out of here, would you?
Are all judges that thorough? I mean, she looks at the teeth.
It's very important that all the attributes are examined. Teeth, eyes, ears,
ouch,
gums.
Am I seeing right? Where's she putting her hands now?
She's just checking out the dog's testicular area to make sure that everything is intact.
Hate to go out on a date with Judge Edie Franklin, have her judge me. That'd be no fun.
Would you please take your dog down and back for me, please?
Now she's having the dogs. Why do they have them run away from them and then back up? What's the point of that? What are they looking for?
Looking for the gait and movement of the dog. And it's very important to see this from all angles. So Edie will be checking out this in particular.
Good way to judge a woman. Have her run away from you and then run back. One of those birds on Carnaby Street. Yes. I'm used to seeing them run away from me more often than run towards me.
Yeah.
Now, what is that? That's a... a bloodhound, isn't it?
I think this is a tremendous dog, and I would say maybe in 2 to 3 years this could be a champion dog. But I just think it may be a tad immature for this year.
Just trying to get a little playing time in.
And take your dog down and back for me, please.
Now, you know what would be funny? I don't know if they could do this, just an idea off the top of my head. Why did he put the bloodhound, put on one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and put a little pipe in his mouth? Are they ever allowed to do anything like that, dress up a dog in a funny way?
No, that's not quite what the purpose of these shows is.
But it would, I think it would really get the crowd going. You know what I mean? The Sherlock Holmes hat with the pipe. I don't know if you could make it look like smoke's coming out of the pipe.
I think that would be a little dangerous.
I'd get a kick out of it. Now that looks like a fast dog. Is that faster than a greyhound? Well, if you put him in a race, who would come in first? If you had a little jockey on him going. Let me ask you this. If you're going to put him on a football team, which would be your wide receiver, which would be your tight end? Who can go the farthest, the fastest?
Well, I don't know any dogs that play football.
I'm having some fun with you here.
Fred Willard, let him hear it. Come on.
Hey, guys, if you're listening to the nighttime show, well, have I got news for you.
Better be good.
It is good. We have merch for sale. What? What? Merch?
Huh?
Yeah, that's right. We've got shirts. We've got shower curtains.
Oh,
we've
you mean
got
merchandise.
Merchandise. What did you think I meant?
Mercenaries.
Oh, well, we also have those as well.
I thought we were going to send Robbie to kill people or something.
Robbie will fall down a flight of stairs.
Onto your enemies.
Right onto your enemies, 100%. We have all sorts of great stuff. If you go to thenighttimeshow.threadless.com, you can pick up any number of cool things. Sweaters,
like what
t-shirts.
Exactly?
Well, we have we have this artist named Mario Delgado who does all sorts of really cool artwork for our show, for our posters.
Right.
I'm sure if you listen
our
to the show.
Our wonderful posters that you've seen everywhere.
You've seen him everywhere. And if you've seen him everywhere, then you can get that artwork on sweaters, shirts.
What about out of the norm items?
Weird stuff. Pajama pants.
What if
leggings.
I want his art while I'm in the shower?
You can get a shower curtain.
You're kidding.
With our logo on your shower curtain.
What if I want to go to sleep with your head exploding right next to my
face? Right next to your
face.
Well, guess what? We got pillows, too. We got pillows.
Oh, my God.
Man. We have bed sheets. We have nighttime show bed sheets and blankets.
What are we doing here?
Why are we ordering right now? We should be
ordering right now.
People could basically sleep with you and your pug jelly donut.
If you want to sleep with me, you can right now go to thenighttimeshow.threadless.com and go and I'll sleep with you. It was just brought to my attention that our show is officially sponsored by Krispy Kreme Donuts. How about that? You know what that means? We're going to play a game tonight, and if you guys win, if this audience wins this game, this whole fucking audience is getting Krispy Kreme Donuts. But enough of that for now. Let's bring up our next guest. Here we go.
Our next guest played Shredder on the cartoon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He starred as Darkwing Duck on the show Darkwing Duck. He's best known for eating all the honey in 100 Acre Wood as Winnie the Pooh himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Cummings.
Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. Chubby little cubby all stuffed with fluff. He's Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. Really, nearly, silly old bear. Where's our good friend Winnie the Pooh?
Nice place you got here.
Hey, how about this, huh? How about this? Jim Cummings.
Is everyone having a marginally adequate experience? That's a yes.
Yeah, you bet.
Life is good. Now, where was I?
Wonderful. It is so. We're so excited to have you. I've been talking to your agent and your people about having you on the show for quite a while. But you were out there promoting Christopher Robin, the movie that you starred in with Ewan McGregor.
Tremendous film.
Huge
movie.
You might
be onto something.
Thank you. Massive Disney movie.
I know. I'm a huge star.
Big movie. You're a huge star.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Before we get into talking about Winnie the Pooh, we got to go way back. We got back to your first credit. Your first credit on IMDb.
Okay.
Should we do this?
Yeah.
All right. What would it be? This is a game we like to play called Did IMDb Get It Right? We have to sing
the
theme
the
song.
Not the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
That is
right?
What it is. It is. It's the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
It isn't.
That's the first credit on
IMDb.
Swear
to God.
Yeah. Swear to God. Were you in the Garbage Pail Kids movie?
No. Maybe.
Maybe. You were in it a little bit.
Who did you not play in the Garbage Pail Kids
movie? Okay, I was half the cast.
Were you half the cast of Garbage Pail?
No, but I was. I can't believe. No, is that actually true?
That is true. That is your first credit on IMDb.
I saw that in the theater.
That was really supposed to be a joke.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater, too. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really terrifying.
And Anthony Newley. The guy who David Bowie kind of wanted to sing like, these eyes so brown. That was, name which one? David Bowie? Anthony Newley? See? They don't know.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Big Bowie fan right there.
Got a Bowie fan right there.
Bowie
he
fan.
Knew. He knew. Okay, fine. No, but I was so proud of that.
That's amazing. Now, your career history, looking through some of your credits, Roger Rabbit. You were in Roger Rabbit. Who were you in Roger Rabbit?
Well, I started off as two weasels and a bullet. You can't have these kind of conversations just anywhere, can you?
That has to be the title of your biography. Two weasels and a bullet.
It's two weasels
the
and
Jim
a bullet.
Jim Cummings story.
But I ended up just being a bullet.
Oh, wow.
And he looked like sort of a marital aid that came out of Yosemite Sam's gun.
Right, yeah.
Well, I was the Andy Devine. And it was cool because they thought it'd be cool to have Andy Devine, Yosemite Sam's gun, have all Western sidekicks as bullets.
Yeah.
And Jim Gallant was Walter Brennan, and I was Andy Devine, you know, old cold Western sidekicks, and Buttram was Pat Buttram.
Oh, wow.
Because he was still Pat Buttram.
Yeah. What did your bullet sound like?
Well, Eddie Valiant. It sounded like, you know, I'm sorry.
I love it. You're also credited as being in The Little Mermaid. Is that true?
Ariel? Yeah.
What did you do in Little Mermaid?
No, I started off. This is. Thank you for bringing up all these movies I was cut the hell out of.
So. I am the worst person.
Yeah. So where were we again? My triumph of Little Mermaid? No. I was deckhand number three, and I said things like something about a poop deck. Arg. And then.
Wait, you were.
But no,
were,
I'm still in there. You know, they still say I'm in there for like two or three lines.
Well, when we had Bill.
Hang on, I'm sorry. Did you say I'm dickhead number three? I could have sworn that's what I heard.
Deckhand.
Oh, deckhand.
And I used
deckhand
to be.
Deckhand number three.
I was
three.
A deckhand.
Deckhand.
Sorry, I had to clarify.
As opposed to. Mini like.
I was like, there's a reason that got cut. And I
yeah, if you were to tell you right now. Number three.
Explains, look at this explains why I was cut out of the movie.
When he said dickhead, I thought it. Well, when I heard, I thought he said dickhead too. It's Brent. Okay, I'm over here in the back here. It's funny. You guys are looking over there. I'm whatever. It doesn't matter where I am. But when you said dickhead number three, I thought that was like a kind of fish, like some kind of fish that like had like a dickhead or something.
Oh no, that's anyway. Steelhead.
Steelhead. Right. Steelhead. Yeah.
There we go.
Easy
you're,
mistake.
You're also credited.
He's a catch and release fish.
You're also credited on Aladdin and The Lion King.
Yeah, that's
what did
true.
You do in those? Because we had Bill Farmer on the show, and Bill Farmer was in Beauty and
lies.
The Beast. I know, such a liar.
Like
in,
that sheep.
In Beauty and the Beast, all he did was the gulp. That was like swallowing the eggs. That's all he did. Like they throw the eggs up in the air, and that's what he's credited as.
Such a braggart. What a show off. I used to dream of going... I was Rasul. I was the guy who. Oh, and I almost got to cut off Princess Jasmine's arm. I was that close. I was that guy, and then I was Rasul. I'm sorry, princess, but I take my orders directly from Jafar. You will have to take it up with him. That dude.
I love it. I love it. That's amazing.
And then there was another question. And I
Lion King. Lion King.
Oh. Natsiguenya Cup. Anyway, that wasn't me. Thank you. Thank
amazing.
You.
Amazing.
No, really, it really wasn't. But I did write the fart verse.
What?
In Hakuna Matata. Something about a fart, but I did. Me and Jess Harnell. Everybody loves Jess.
Yeah, of course.
We all know Jess Harnell.
He's been on the show.
I was hanging around on the show doing Ed the Hyena, and they said, "Well, let's get Jim and Jess to sing because Nathan Lane and Ernie Sabella weren't singers per se, and me and Jess are great." Mm-hmm. Just sure. ask us.
Right.
No, frighteningly adequate. And they just said, well, let's get Jim to be, you know, Pumbaa, and we'll get Jess to be Timon. And that way, when they get in the studio to sing this song, you know, they'll have it in their head. They give it to them, let them run around in a car for like 3 weeks listening to it. Then they come into the studio. Then they can sing because they're not singers per se.
Sure.
And so it sounded like a good idea. And we were getting through the song, and they didn't even have all the lyrics down. And it started off about when I was a kid, it was tough. We had it easy. We had it tough. You had it hard. And I was like, oh, man. You know, my dad used to give me that crap, you know, like you have to go uphill both ways, you know, in snow to school. Nobody likes that. But doesn't the warthog fart a lot? Apparently he did. So I wrote the verse about, the shame, but what's in a name? And I got downhearted every time today. Boom, but not in front of the kids. Sorry. Hakuna Matata. Sing it with me. What a wonderful phrase. And so I got a fart joke into a Disney movie. Surely you've seen it in the credits.
So much. When we were watching the opening and like the videos of all the cartoons from the 80s, I'm standing back there with it. And what was the show that came on? It was the It was the one with the guy.
Oh, the Visionaries.
He was like, I was in the Visionaries.
I was a visionary.
Yeah,
I think.
Not a lot of people can say that.
No,
yeah, that's true. That is very true. So you were on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You played Shredder on Ninja Turtles.
Well, I was Leatherhead and one of the sewer guys.
Mm-hmm. Leatherhead, the crocodile that had a shotgun.
Yeah. I was the Cajun. I was that you go them turtle. And the true story is that is the pretty damn good impression of the riverboat captain, because I was a kid in New Orleans. I was a deckhand on a riverboat, and
you were a what now?
He was a
you were a he was a kind of fish on a riverboat.
You were a dickhead on a riverboat.
Weren't we all at some point?
We planned all this shit out in advance earlier, and they fell for it again. No, but it's true. I was a dickhead on a riverboat. I actually said dickhead that time. Come on. Jeez, I thought I was I'll throw him an easy one.
Yeah.
No, but
easy one.
No, but he actually, he was like, well, they'd send me a Yankee college boy for my last time on the river. I said, but I'm not in college. And I looked like I looked like Ian Anderson. I had a flute. That went over real well.
This isn't a Jethro Tull
crowd. I had all this hair and an orange rucksack and $5.
Oh
And it was, honestly, it was his last time. He was 75 years old. Oh. It was his last time on the river as a captain. It was my first time on the river as a deckhand. Or deckhand.
Or whatever.
And you know, whatever it was. And he said, I can't believe they sent me a Yankee college boy. And I said, I'm not in college. You better go. So that guy went, like a couple of years later, well, no, 8 or 10 years later, I was in. I finally moved out here, and I got an audition for. They needed a Cajun alligator to can talk, I guess. You know, and I went. I got him.
Amazing.
You know, and I always wonder if like his grandkids ever went, "Hey, Grandpa, come out here. You see this alligator?" Yeah, well, then turtle, they're gonna. What the hell? That some bitch doing? I going to kill him? Yeah. So, yeah, I was like designated Cajun for a while. And I was Shredder Light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because other people played Shredder as well.
I know. It's a funny comedy humor joke because James Avery, Dorian Harewood, and me. So two black dudes and a white dude played a Japanese dude. Thank you. We were politically incorrect, I think.
Can you shred for us a little bit?
Or were we?
Oh those Pagata turtles.
Something.
The very Jewish, very Jewish shredder.
Oh, my like day, those Pagata turtles.
I brought the
Shredder converted
everybody.
Early on. He, oh, you know, is that what happened?
Yeah. All exclusive.
We would be crazy not to mention Winnie the Pooh, who you have been playing now for a quite. So how long have you been playing Winnie the Pooh for?
1987.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
I know.
How did you, what was the audition like? Like the process doing of auditioning over for that?
I don't know. Oh, thank you. But in metric? what was the question?
What was the process of auditioning for something like that? Like how do you get the voice for that? How did you put that together?
You know, I think it comes of, you know, my ridiculous brain, the way it hurt. You know, I just, you hear things and you think, you know, and you just try to conjure, and you'd be playing Monopoly. I think I will buy Park Place. You know, and then Winnie the Pooh bought Park Place. And you know, I know. See, women hate Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's, it was just one of those things you did. I basically turned Monkey Hour into a career. Wow. You know, that's what awesome. It is.
Yeah.
You know.
Amazing. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, stuff used to get me kicked out of class, right?
31 years. 31.
Two it's mathematicians.
Yeah, we got that.
Confirmed
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And you do Tigger as well?
Well, of course I do. Oh, don't be ridiculous. Come on. Somebody has to do the heavy bouncing.
Oh, my God. We got to take some questions from the audience. Brent, you want to grab some questions from
these people?
All
right, we're
back
online over here in the back. Anybody have any questions back here? Any
questions? Questions for us?
There you are.
Oh, we got
questions for Jim Cummings,
all right,
ladies
and
gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Is this? Wait, was there? Oh, no, I thought that was
somebody. How long are you
going to
be up there, man?
Oh,
we're
one.
Really waiting on Carney. That's okay.
Your
not
favorite
long.
Character that you've ever done.
You know, I was going to ask that. I was actually going to ask that.
Yeah, everyone was going to ask that. No, it's you know, I always think that Pooh and Tigger are in their own category. They're kind of like evergreens. They're on a shelf, you know. And thank you. Yeah, see, he gets it. And then Darkwing is way, way up there.
Yeah.
And
Can you do a little bit of that?
A little Darkwing? Yeah, a little.
I'm sorry, but I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the floaty that will not be flushed in the toilet bowl of crime. I am Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
So, come yes.
I got a quick question.
Brent has a question for you.
What did you originate Darkwing Duck?
What's that?
Did you originate Darkwing Duck?
Oh, yeah.
What are your top
no,
characters?
No, I joke about it. No, Tad Stones, I can't see you, but I know you're out there. No, Tad,
it's better
I always
that
say
you don't
Tad
see
Stones,
me.
The creator, he created him, and I think he's Darkwing's dad, and then Jenny McSwain, the voice director for the show, was Darkwing's mom. Wow. And I'm Darkwing, so there you have it.
Wow. Amazing.
That's so sweet. So, Jim, in your career, you also have a lot of shows you've done for Warners.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You sort of bounce between the Disney and the Warners. Like, is that unusual in your business to be able to do
people
stuff
have
for
told me
both
that,
of those?
But it doesn't feel that weird from in here with us. Because yeah. Well, we're not schizophrenic, so it's fine. It's okay.
That's amazing. I don't know. This might be a weird ask, but I've always been a big fan of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. But I'm also right. Come on, right? But I've also always been a really big fan.
I think you guys
fan.
Are supposed to say yes or something. Huh?
Yes, right. But I've also
making him beg.
I think we've also always been a big fan of Pulp Fiction. So what I was going to ask is, would you consider doing a scene from Pulp Fiction as Winnie the Pooh and Tigger? Would you just for fun, maybe?
You just so happen to have it.
I just happen to have it.
No.
Would you mind? It's the
ain't nobody with a potty mouth up in here, huh? Vincent, that was Travolta, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this. Sure, why not?
Amazing. Come on! The nighttime show, motherfuckers!
I wish I couldn't find my glasses. So Vincent was Travolta?
Yes.
Yeah. And Jules was Samuel L. God, I wish I could think of something funny to say right now. Okay, wow. Okay. This is a cold read, isn't it? You know what the funniest thing about Europe is? No, come on, tell me what. Well, it's the little differences. A lot of the same boop we got here, they got there, but they're a little different. Example, perchance. All right, when you go into a movie theater in Amsterdam, you can buy boop, and I don't mean in a paper cup either. They give you a big glass of boop, and in Paris, you can buy boop at McDonald's, and you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris? They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese and parrots. No, they got the metric system there. You wouldn't know what the boop a quarter pounder is. Well, what do they call it? They call it a royale with honey. A royale with honey? Well, what do they call a Big Mac? Well, a Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Lay Big Mac.
That's the best. That's the best. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Jim Cummings. Damn.